Well, good morning, everyone. So good to see you today. Let's all stand. The song is Days of Elijah. Here we go. Behold, comes riding on the clouds, shining like the sun, and trumpet call. Shining like the sun, and the trumpet calls. So lift your voice, it's year of jubilee, and now is Zion till salvation comes. These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of his servant Moses, when justice being restored. And though these are days of great trials, of darkness and darkness in store, and a voice in the desert crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, riding on the cloud, shining like the sun, and the trumpet call. The dry bones becoming his flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding the temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest, the fields are as white in your work. We are your laborers in your vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun, at the trumpet calls. So let your voice, it's here at Jubilee, and not as I until salvation comes. Behold. Salvation comes. Sunday morning, when this life is over, out the rain, to a home on God's celestial shore, I'll fly away. Turn to your neighbor and say, sure is good to see you.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and
the morning brings eternal bright and fair. When this universe shall gather over on the other shore, and the world is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the world is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. Let us labor for the master from the dawn to setting sun. Let us talk of all this wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, and the world is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the world is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. When I look, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. There is coming a day when no heart shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears in the eye, all is peace forevermore.
It's a good day right now because it's the Lord's day. We're in God's house and you're here and I'm here and the Word of God's here. So it's going to be good. So glad to see you this morning. Want to welcome our visitors. Appreciate you so much. We do have some new faces here this morning. We welcome you, tell you how glad we are that you're worshiping with us here at Bible Baptist this morning. One of the ushers will probably give you a visitor's packet, and all we ask is you just fill out the card in that packet and let us know kind of who you are, where you're from, and leave it laying in your pew, or you can drop it in a plate on your way out. But we appreciate you spending your time with us this morning. Let me just mention that Terry Sackett has COVID, and so we want to keep Terry lifted up in prayer. And there's been a lot of our people that have been sick with flu and everything else, and we're kind of getting most of them well, but you guys just be out there and take care of yourself and look out for those that are sick, and we'll get past that flu season very soon and be on our way to something else, okay? And so anyway, we're glad you're here. Let's go ahead and go to the Lord in a word of prayer, and we'll get right back to our singing, and I'll ask Aaron back here if you'll lead us in prayer.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated at this time. The choir has a special. This is going to be our Texas Hoedown song. Some of you are going to hear this music and you're going to want to get out on the aisles and start dancing and say, yee-haw! But that'll be all right. All right. Here we go, Valerie. Hit it.
Oh, love you today, and God, we're grateful that we can be redeemed. And I think of what you told us in the scriptures, that without the shedding of blood, there could be no forgiveness of sin. Think about what you had to endure on the cross. You were mocked. You were spit upon. You was treated as cruelly as any human individual has ever been treated. You allowed them to put you on the cross. And you did it all so that we could be redeemed. God, my prayer this morning is that there's one here that's never accepted you as Lord and Savior. They never experienced the washing, the cleansing, the forgiveness of sin. Oh God, I pray that today would be that day. God, I pray that you'd draw us closer to you. I pray that your presence would permeate this room this morning. God, we love you. Thank you for all that you do for us. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Would you stand with us, please?
Are you thirsty? Are you empty? Come and drink this living water. Unspoken, rest beside these living waters. There's a river that flows with mercy and love, bringing joy to the city of our God. There our hope is secure, do not fear it. Is calling, find refreshing at the cross of living waters. Lay your love down, the old ground, rise up in these living waters. There's a river that flows with mercy and love, bringing joy to the city of our God. There our hope is secure, do not fear anymore. Praise the Lord of living waters. Spirit moving, mercy washing, healing in these living waters. Lead your children to the shoreline. Life is in these living waters. There's a river that flows with mercy. Bringing joy to the city of our God. There our hope is secure, do not fear anymore. Praise the Lord of living waters. Are you thirsty? Our living waters. There's It's a river that flows with mercy and love, bringing joy to the city of our God. There our hope is secure. Do not fear anymore. Praise the Lord of heaven waters. You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my
seated as we go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your blessings this morning already on our services, our time together during the Sunday school hour and through this song service. And now, Father, we're praying, God, for your blessings to be over our worship hour, Lord, as we learn from your word. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you just take and work in each of our hearts and take the word of God and impart your wisdom to us and help us to have a clear understanding of your word. And thank you, Lord God, for our visitors, return visitors here to this morning. I pray that you'll bless them and encourage them. And let, Lord, wherever they may be from, that you'd take them home safely. And Lord God, help them to be filled and enriched with your word this morning. And God, we know that we have a lot of people gone, Lord, between spring break and sickness and time change and all. And I just pray that you'll bless our people that are not here. And take care of those that are recovering. We think of Terry with the COVID. I just pray, God, that you'd help him to get better quickly. We think of others. I think of Marcus, Lord, there at home, now taking dialysis. I pray that you'll bless him. Father, there are others that could be mentioned, but time won't allow. We just ask, God, that as we go into your word, Lord, that you would just help us to have a better understanding of what you want from our lives and speak to our hearts. We pray this and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, if you'll turn in your Bibles to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, for several weeks now, I've been preaching to you on the subject of choices. Our choices, good or bad, in great part set the course of our life. Every single day we make decisions that bring about particular results. Most of those are negligible, but then there are others that are fairly impactful. We may choose to wear a certain color of shirt to work in the morning, and that won't have any bearing upon our day, but then if we were to go to work with no shirt at all, it would have considerably different results. And so some choices are big and some are small, but many of our choices really, really matter. And so I brought to you several sermons regarding particularly impactful choices in our lives, like the choice to forgive, the choice to love, the choice to give, the choice of our words, the choice of humility. Last week we talked about the choice of doing our best, and now today, I want to, which will likely be our final message on this particular subject, but I want to talk to you this morning about choosing truth. Choosing truth for our lives. Now, it might seem that the need to choose truth for our life is just kind of a foregone conclusion. Who in their right mind would choose to base their life on lies and not truth? Well, the truth of the matter is, many people do. Many people choose to base their lives upon lies. And there's only one absolute, unchanging source of truth, and that's in this book that we have open this morning. And people, many people, choose not to accept what the Word of God says. Many people choose to reject the Bible. And by discarding what the Bible has to say about certain subjects and going with what the world says, however contrary it may be, that person is choosing lies over truth. Now keep in mind, the world's ideas are not all contrary to the Word of God, okay? In other words, much of what the world says is true, okay? For instance, the subject of murder. The Bible says that it's wrong to kill your neighbor. Well, the world agrees with that, right? Everybody pretty much goes along with that truth and embraces that truth, whether they know what the Bible says or not. Society takes on that truth. But then when it comes to many other subjects, the world disagrees with the Word of God. God's Word says one thing, society says another. And as children of God, which one we choose to believe is going to greatly impact our lives. What the world says regarding marriage, what it says regarding sexuality and gender, what the world says about the life of the unborn or in some of these subjects that are in the forefront of our minds, often social issues and stuff, what the world has to say about them is a total lie, not even close to God's truth. And so you and I have to decide, which one are we going to go with? Who are we going to go with? We're going to go with the world's ideals, or are we going to go with God's ideals? And here's one of the most widespread mistakes that's making among believers today. And it's this: to claim that we believe God's word, to claim that this is truth and we know it's truth, okay? To claim that, but then turn around and in a everyday practical sense embrace society and their ideas on particular subjects. That's being double-minded, as we'll see here in just a few moments as we read a scripture. If God's word is truth, then we have to accept it as truth. And if the world's or society's ideas about that particular subject are different than the Word of God, who are we going to go with? We're going to go with the Word of God. There are churches that are very familiar with what Scripture says about homosexuality, but yet they allow a gay person in the pulpit, or they conduct or perform same-sex wedding ceremonies within their church. That, friends, is choosing a lie
over the truth. Now, that's not to say that we shouldn't show love and kindness to those who are wayward or those that practice these sort of things, because we as Christians should always be merciful, just as God has been merciful to us. But it's an altogether different thing to embrace that untruth, to accept it, and to say that behavior is acceptable and okay. So mark my word, the abandonment of one truth will always lead to the questioning of another truth. And when we begin to question truth, denying it soon follows. You see, it's a slippery slope. We say on this issue, well, you know, I don't know. And then we accept the society's idea on it. The next thing you know, it's this other issue. And we're questioning it. And then we accept society. And on it goes. And we wonder why our values are in the tank. We wonder how we got here. Our values are based upon whatever we decide to attach them to. First of all, let me give you the meaning of the word value, which is very simple. Essentially, a value is what's important to us. My personal values are the things that are important to me as an individual, the things that I value. Your values may differ from mine depending upon the basis of them. Let me illustrate it for just a moment. If God's word is the basis for your values, and God's word is the basis for my values, then we are going to share the same values. Pretty simple, right? But on the other hand, consider this. Let's say that there are two different people, same gender, same age, graduated from the same school, raised in the same town, continue to live in the same town, work at the same company. They have so many things that in common. They're very similar to one another. They're both very politically aware. Okay, they stay up to snuff on all the current events and issues and on the actions of government. But one of them belongs to one political party, and the other belongs to the other political party, and the results of that is two totally different value systems. What's important to each of them differs considerably because, whether they consciously did so or not, they attach themselves to a system of thought. And going forward, when we attach ourselves to a particular system of thought, going forward, that attachment is going to begin to tell us what our values are. It can be done not just politically, but universities. If you attach yourself to what's being taught and spend 4 years in a university and you decide you're going to embrace those ideas, that even that system of thought can change who you are and who your values are. And so these two guys, one's with this party, the other's with this party. This guy's values are different than this guy's values. What's important to him is not important to this guy, and vice versa. And this can happen to anyone, by the way. But it's not a healthy situation, because that person's particular party is not always right. And it can get even more off track for us if we become passionately attached to a system of thought. Because then, the first thing you know, we're dismissing the ideals of everybody else, especially somebody a part of the other party, okay? And just as one party is not always right, the other party is not always wrong. So you see how unhealthy that is. How do you do it? How should we do it? Here's a healthy approach: to have our values firmly established by the Word of God. John 17:17 says this, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. Here's the truth. And so when we attach ourselves to this system and we allow it to form our values for us, we allow it to tell us what's important for us, then all the other matters, politically or otherwise, we take them one by one, each issue, and evaluate them according to our system of thought that we've attached to, which is the Word of God. Does that make sense to you? Regardless of what either party thinks, whatever God's Word is our guide and our value system, you see? Well, we've gotten, in our country, this is a thing of the past. That's why we're so divided. Now, we're in James chapter 1. I want you to look at verse 8, and it says this. It says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. There's so much that we can learn from this particular verse. Who wants to be unstable? Nobody in their right mind wants to be unstable, but yet this verse tells us that we will be unstable if we're double-minded. Double-minded just simply means to waver or to be uncertain. When our values are attached to anything except God's truth, then they will waver from time to time. They will change as the systems of thought in the world change. The world around us has changing ideas all the time. If you don't believe me, think about this. Think about where we were 40 years ago on the subject of gender. Even 30, even 20 years ago on the subject of gender. There was no discussion because it wasn't even thought of. Okay? Because for centuries, we had gone with what God said about gender. For centuries, we had gone with what we saw when we looked down in the restroom. We just accepted it. Okay? There was no confusion. Now, look at us, this many years later. You see the change of thought? You see how systems of thought change? Not only is it an issue today, but if you believe contrary to what the world is embracing out there on that, you'll be canceled and you'll be ostracized. You see, it's always changing. Truth doesn't change. Values that are based upon truth don't change. And so we were here first. We embraced God's word first. And so the values that our values were established long ago in the written word of God, long before this world began to waver on that particular issue and so many others. And so that's the way it worked. Unwavering truth produces unwavering values. Now, there's only one place to find unwavering truth, right here. Now, we're going to look at verse 5 of this same chapter. The Bible says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him. In other words, if we are seeking truth, it can be found in God. It can be read about in His written word. It can be illustrated in the life of His Son Jesus. It can be imparted to us by His Holy Spirit. What we need to do is seek it. That's what's implied by the phrase, ask of God. Seek it. And friends, God's not going to disappoint us. When you and I seek His truth, He's not going to let us down. It says that He giveth to all men liberally. In other words, He's going to pour it out to us. If we go after it, we're seeking to know what His truth is. He's not going to hold it back. He's going to pour it out to us. Verse 5 says that He upbraideth not. That just simply means He's not going to taunt us with it. God's not playing cat and mouse with His truth and us, saying, oh, well, you search a little harder, let me hide it here. He wants us to know His truth. He wants us to not only know it, but He wants us to embrace it and get a hold of it. He's not going to make it elusive and somehow hard to grasp. He's going to make it ready available to those who seek it. So if you and I come to God in faith, wanting to know what the truth in any particular matter is, He's not going to let us down. If we want to know what's right and what's wrong regarding any particular issue, He's going to give it to us. I want you to notice it says in verse 6, to let Him ask in faith. Let us ask knowing that He has the answers, knowing that He is the source of absolute truth, and also knowing that it can be found and trusting that it will be given to us. And there's another element of asking in faith, and it's this: asking with the intent of accepting it. You see, if we're coming to God seeking wisdom, but we all the time know we're going to go get a second opinion, that's not asking in faith, okay? That's not faith, that's curiosity, okay? But when you come to Him in faith, you're coming saying, okay, whatever you tell me, God, I'll accept. That's faith. Notice He calls it a search for wisdom. If any of you lack wisdom, let me give you a simple definition of wisdom. It's the skill of living. That's what wisdom is, the skill of living. In the Old Testament, the Bible used the word wisdom to describe the craftsmen who were involved in building the temple. And they were skilled and able to do it right. And they were able to do it beautifully. And I want you to read to you in chapter 31 of Exodus. And let me read these verses to you. Beginning in verse 3, they'll be on the screen. He says, I have filled him. He's talking about the people, the men that he set aside to do this work. I have filled them with my spirit, or with the Spirit of God, in wisdom. Notice that word. And in understanding, and in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship. To devise cunning works, and to work in gold, and silver, and in brass, and in the cutting of stones, to set them, and the carving of timber, and to work in all manner of workmanship. You know what God's saying about those fellas? He's saying, I have equipped them with all the talent and skill that's needed to carry out this very important work, okay? God made them experts at the art of building things. Now, where am I going with that? That word wisdom is what we're talking about here. God says, let him ask of God. Do you know what God wants to do? He wants to equip you and I with the art of living. He wants to impart to you and I the skills to live well. Back in our text, I want you to notice two phrases in verse 6 and in verse 7. In verse 6, he speaks of wavering. And in verse 7, he speaks of being unstable. The two carry the same ideal, just simply meaning to be all over the place. Christians, we should not be all over the place in our thinking or in our values. They should be unmovable. God wants us to be skilled at living. He wants us to be artists at the craft of life. And how does He do that? With giving us His wisdom. While the world is wavering, back and forth, changing with the times, we don't have to waver because God's truth doesn't waver. His wisdom will stabilize us. Now, I want you to notice what it says in verse 6. It says this, it says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. He likens the life of someone who does not have truth as their basis. He likens it to the waves of the sea, up and down and here and there and over here 1 minute and over there the next. That's what he likens it to. And you can envision that if we're not stabilized by God's word. I'm not a water person at all. I'll shower. but I'm outside of that. I'm not, especially the ocean. I'm not a fan of the ocean. The waves up and down and all of that that scares me. And I don't know whether some of you will remember, it's been probably 20, 21 years ago, the church gave us a cruise. That's when my kids were all still back at home, fairly young. And so we took all of our kids out on that cruise, and it was fun, and I appreciated it, but cruise ship was scary to me. At night, standing on that rail, about 5 stories above the water, and you can't see land in any direction, and you look down and those giant waves white capping, that was petrifying to me. It's just a scary thought out in the middle of nowhere. And there are other things on a cruise ship. I think I've told you before, they must not have TV reception, so they have one channel in your cabin. Okay, that kind of makes vacation hard for a guy that loves Gunsmoke, okay. But they have only one channel And on that channel, they have one movie looping for 24 hours straight. One day, you know what that movie was? Titanic. That's true. Titanic. And that's not the only thing scary on a cruise ship. How many of you have been on a cruise? You raise your hand. Yeah, a lot of you. How about those toilets? When you hit that thing, it's like a giant suction that's going to pull you out to sea. I mean, everything about a cruise ship, in spite of the fact that it's supposed to be joyful, it's scary to me, okay? But the most scary thing is the waves and the up and the down and the here and there and yon. And that's what the Bible describes us as if we're not skilled in living. When wisdom and truth are not being used to stabilize us, we're like those waves, up and down. Our verse in verse 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask. That's that in the Greek, that carries the idea of craving for it, desiring it, being desperate for it, wanting it bad. Let me paint a picture in your mind quickly. Think of being out on the sea in a boat, not a cruise ship, but on a boat, and you're being tossed to and fro by its waves, and the turbulent waters they're unstable, and it doesn't take very long in that situation for a person. That'd get old in a hurry. It would get scary, and a person would be very miserable over time, up and down, from side to side, wavering, if you will. Well, let me just give you a scripture out of Psalms 107. That describes that for us, okay? And speaking of the waves of the sea, the psalmist says this, verse 26, they mount up to the heaven and they go down to the depths. You see what he's talking about? Waves way up here and then the bottom drops out of it and are down to the depths. Up and down they go. It's one way this minute and the other way the next. And that's the way waves do. And watch this, the second part of verse 26, it says, their soul is melted because of the trouble. Whose is? The people that are on that boat out there in the middle of it. They're scared to death. Their soul is melted and because of the instability of things. But watch this. Verse 27 says, they reel to and fro. They stagger like a drunk man and are at their wits' end. You see, it's taking a toll on them. That the wavering is wearing them down. And they're at their wits' end. They're frustrated and they're tired. Kind of reminds us what life is like when we don't have the basis of truth. But then look what happens. Verse 28. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out of their distresses. You see, they finally realize, I know who has the answers. This doesn't have to continue on. I don't have to be up and down and all over the place all the time. I can seek God's answers. And so they ask God. They seek Him. They know where the answers are. They ask Him. They know He can give them stability. And they call upon Him. And remember, our text says, if anyone lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And so God brings them out of their distress. How does He do it? Look at verse 29. He makes the storm to calm, and the waves that are thereof are still. What's that saying? He comes in there and He stabilizes the situation. No more waves, no more wavering, no more up and down, no more over here one minute and over there the next minute, no more all over the place. And verse 30 says, and then they are glad because they be quiet. So He bringeth them into their desired haven. Friends, do you want to be brought into a place in life where it's secure, where it's safe, where it's unmovable? Then you need to choose truth. And you need to choose truth, and I need to choose truth over any ideal that's out there in the world, over any philosophy, any agenda, any school of thought that's contrary to truth. We have to reject those things and say, this is what thus saith the Lord. That's what's going to form my values. That's the system of thought that I'm attaching to. And I just comes to my mind last week. David preached last week, and he spoke of when they were in the boat, and they had fished all night and hadn't caught anything, and I don't remember where the text was, but Jesus told him, said, "Let down your net, Peter." And Peter said, "Man, we fished all night. We hadn't caught any fish." But he says, "Nevertheless, at thy word." And he cast his net, and they caught a lot of fish. You know what? And thank you for that. You helped me with my message tonight. It just came to my mind, or this morning. You know what? Every time the world is saying, "Well, this is okay," and you know, you're narrow-minded if you don't think this is okay, we can say, "You know what? Nevertheless, at thy word, God." Whatever they're saying out there is irrelevant. At thy word, God, there's my truth. There's the basis of my values. There's what's going to keep me from wavering and being tossed to and fro. If you guys will come. God's answers don't change with time. God's answers don't change ever. The systems of thought of this world will change from generation to generation. If you don't ask a young person to talk to grandma and grandpa about what values used to be in this world. Values and systems of thought change with the time in this world unless they're attached to the Bible. I'm going to ask you to stand. And I'm going to encourage you to choose truth. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. God's spoken to your heart about anything. You come.